Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to CEMIG's third quarter 2021 conference call. We inform that this event is being recorded and it has simultaneous interpreting into English. Now, I would like to turn the floor to Mr. Antonio Carlos Vélez Braga, Investor Relations Superintendent. Please, Mr. Vélez. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Antonio Vélez, CEMIG's Investor Relations Superintendent. We now start CEMIG's third quarter 2021 earnings call and webcast with the following executives: Reynaldo Passanezi Filho, CEO; Dimas Costa, Chief Commercial Officer; Eduardo Soares, Chief Legal and Regulatory Officer; Leonardo George de Magalhães, CFO and IR Officer; Marney Tadeu Antunes, Chief Distribution Officer; Maurício Dallagnese, Chief Participation Strategy, Environment and Innovation Officer; and Tadeu Carneiro da Silva, Chief Generation and Transmission Officer. For the initial remarks, I would like to turn the floor to our CEO, Reynaldo Passanezi Filho. Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, it is a great pleasure to have this opportunity to be with you, bringing the figures of our third quarter of 2021. I believe, once again, we are delivering as always, following our strategic planning. Very sound results, very consistent, which show the resilience of the company. We have some initial highlights. Let's turn to the first slide of our presentation. The first one that we would like to comment is on EBITDA and net profit. Our EBITDA reached 6.3 billion in the first 9 months of the year, up 53%, very robust growth. Net profit was of 2.8 billion, 75% higher to the same when compared to the same period of 2020. We later will see the adjusted figures, and they always show very consistent results of a company that effectively is already in a new trajectory in terms of operating results and profitability, as well as growth. Here, we'll probably be able to announce the highest EBITDA in this company's history still this year, if everything goes as planned, and despite of having lost the plants, we'll be able to recover and have the higher EBITDA of this company ever. This is a huge explanation for this result, and they mainly come from our efforts for better operating efficiency and also better performance. For CEMIG Distribution, we are within our regulatory OpEx and also within our regulatory EBITDA, which is an amazing achievement, and this is the first time that we find ourselves within the regulatory level for EBITDA. We expected to close the year at that level. Our OpEx is at 279 million below the regulatory level. This is a very important trajectory of adjustment in the company. It was above the regulatory level not long ago, and our EBITDA also is above our regulatory level, and it was 85% of the regulatory level a few years ago. This proves great efforts in terms of aiming for efficiency. In case of the EBITDA, we'll also look at this at the explanation here. That is thanks to a OpEx that is lower than the regulatory and also losses that are very close to the regulatory ones. Of course, we have been improving our loss indicators as well. We also have the best rating of the company's history. Fitch and Standard & Poor's. We already have 8+ as our rating. So this is the best rating for this company ever. Since 2008, we were able to improve in five ratings, in five levels of ratings. This is a spectacular result as well. And we also have the best quality indicators of the company's history. Here we mentioned DEC, but also we have FEC. Our DEC is of 9.46 hours, below the ANEEL's limits, and that is the best DEC of the company's history. Two other important highlights in this page. As we mentioned, we are transferring trading contracts to CEMIG Holding. I believe that will allow us to have a more transparent balance sheet. We separate the trading activity where the company is a leader in that area, in the trading area. So this way we'll be able to show also that we have consistent results in the trading business. And GSF, also, regarding some subsidiaries that did not have that posting, and we had a result from the renegotiation of the GSF of 308 million. So I wanted to highlight the consistency of the results and our records, quality records with DEC and FEC at the best levels of all time, records in terms of operating efficiency and also ratings, risk ratings, and also consolidated results, as you can see, EBITDA and net profit. And on the next page, also following our strategic plan, we are announcing the sale of our stakes in Renova, fully in line with our strategic planning. And we have been able to do what was a challenge since 2017. Renova, we have Renova in CEMIG's divestment plan since 2017. You always have been following up our trajectory. This is a company that started in the process of bankruptcy protection. We were able to approve that bankruptcy protection plan and also loans so that works could resume, and we were able to place this company in a restructuring trajectory as well as of sustainability. Therefore, we were able to conclude our participation now with announcing its sale to Angra Partners in the amount of 60 million, and also the earn-out subject to future events. That just comes to confirm our commitment, and which is to focus in Minas Gerais and to win. So our strategic plan really aims to bring CEMIG back to its core business, transmission, distribution, and generation in the state of Minas Gerais. This is our investment plan, 22.5 billion for the next 5 years. And focusing in Minas Gerais, in this state, also involves not focusing in the strategic assets out of Minas Gerais. So just like Renova, this is an example, just like we divested from Light. And Renova is very important for us. We really want to eliminate any risks regarding possible liabilities in Renova that could be under CEMIG's responsibilities. So we end this chapter, and we now concentrate ourselves and our efforts investing in Minas Gerais, changing Minas Gerais people's lives with our own energy. So these were my initial remarks, and now I turn the floor to Leonardo. Great, Reynaldo. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us in this conference call. On the next slide, we'll be talking about our investment program execution. It is a very bold one, almost 3 billion, and you all know the difficulties that we are having with the material acquisition, not only energy companies, but also other manufacturing companies, auto, and because of the high exchange rate and a mismatch, an imbalance between supply and demand. So in the first half of the year, we did have problems purchasing material. We see that it's improving. In the third quarter, we were able to have an execution of our investment program that was much better. We believe the fourth quarter will be even better, but really, we reached the 2.9, but it is a challenge, and we believe that we will not be able to reach at the 2.9, but we'll do everything that we can to get close to this figure. But in any way, 2022 is a very important year, especially for the distributing company, because it's the last year before the tariff review. We also have a bold investment program for next year. And remember that these investments that we make up to next year will be part of the remuneration base. So we'll be very focused on investing and being able to do that, those investments in this fourth quarter of 2021 and in 2022, so that it can also be into the tariff review. And adding to that, we have investments in transmission and generation, and especially in renewable. And we expect that in the next quarter, we can bring you good news about these other investments that we are forecasting for generation. And here we have a few highlights about our investment program. We have very relevant programs. There is one that's called Mais Energia, or More Energy. We will be installing 200 new substations, reaching 615 substations up to 2027. So these are investments to increase in 50% our substations in the state. We understand that this is a very cautious investment, 5 billion up to 2027. It will allow the industry to grow and also to be better connected. We know that the state of Minas Gerais has the best conditions for distributed generation, and we understand that with these new substations, we will allow this growth. And the renewable energy is a clean energy that's important for the state of Minas Gerais, and CEMIG also believes that these 5 billion will be integrated in the remuneration base because they are very cautious investments. And we have another program, the Minas three-phase program. It has a single phase and is turning networks from single phase to three phase. And that's very important for the agribusiness because you offer energy to small growers. Therefore, they can transform, they can switch their businesses from a subsistence agriculture to something that can generate more value. So we are going to help families to have a better life. We are going to help the state to grow. And also, these investments will be remunerated in our remuneration asset base. We believe this is a virtuous cycle of the company. These investments help the state to develop itself, and at the same time, they are important to generate revenue for the company. Now, in terms of the market recognition, CEMIG once again got the award Transparency, with the that is awarded for companies that provide transparency in their information about the company. And also, we got the 2021 Abradee Awards. We ranked second in the category Evolution and Performance. That shows a recognition in the sector of this improvement in performance, and this is being recognized within Abradee. In the next slide, Reynaldo already mentioned we have our best ratings in history. Fitch just improved our rating. Standard & Poor's have done that already. And Moody's, we are always talking to them about our ratings. We always expect to be improving Moody's ratings as well. But we have a better position in Fitch and S&P. And we see that if we compare that to 2018, we did have an improvement in terms of the level of confidence of these rating agencies, 5 notches at Fitch and Moody's 5 knots as well, and we expect that even high. And in the global international level at Fitch, we are already at the same risk level as the Brazil risk, the sovereign risk. So we understand that this best rating of the company is the recognition of these rating agencies of all our financial management here in the company. And we could also talk about our quality indicators, and they maintain an improvement trajectory. Our DEC is at 9.46 in the 12 months. It is at a comfortable position, and our FEC is basically 30% below the regulatory target. And it shows that the investments that the company is doing in better management is providing a better quality of energy we provide to our consumers. Vélez is going to comment more on that. But once again, this is a virtuous cycle. Not only the results are better, but also the service providing of the company for clients and consumers. And the next slide, fighting delinquency. We reached our collection index of 98.55%. That is the percentage of collection vis-a-vis the revenue or the billed clients. Like I said, 98.55%. There was a reduction in our AFDA, and these results are thanks to many actions that we are taking. We increased our collections. Also, we had a larger number of disconnections. We invested more in disconnections, but also created conditions so that our customers, especially now in the pandemic, could pay their bills with the company. So we are allowing them to pay in an easier fashion using Pix direct transfer or using credit cards, paying installments. And these are important measures so that our customers can pay their bills. And something else that is new, and we believe that is very important in this quarter, is that we have a commitment since last year. We are saying that we are committed to having our losses at the regulatory level. It was higher than the regulatory level in 2018. Like this slide, we were at 12.49 vis-a-vis 11.22 of maximum limit of regulatory losses covered by the tariff. So we were more than 1% above. And in September of 2021, the losses, total losses are 3% higher than the regulatory one in that convergence movement. And we expect our losses are below the regulatory limit. We are optimistic. We are taking several measures in the company to bring down this loss. And we understand this trajectory will follow on in this fourth quarter and also in 2022. So we believe this is good news again. And that's another commitment that we have with the market and our investors, and we believe that we are on the right track, and that's what we have been doing in the last three quarters. And let's talk about the results of the third quarter now. And for that, I will turn the floor to Vélez.
Thank you very much, Leonardo. So let's start now the financial results. On slide 14, we have our main effects, which explain the results of the third quarter. As already mentioned, and I would like to highlight once again, we are starting the contract transference of energy purchase and sale from CEMIG GT to holding. And the idea here is to separate the trading business from CEMIG GT and to place it in under the holding. This will allow us to have greater visibility of our trading business. And already in this quarter, we had an EBITDA transfer of 125 million from CEMIG GT to holding. In the consolidated results, this is a null effect, but we will see that impact reducing CEMIG GT EBITDA and turning that into holding. For CEMIG distribution, we had a growth, and we still have a robust growth of distributed energy of 4.3%, and the captive market, it was 1.2% and higher. We had other results here that I'll talk more about them, but for transport for clients had a strong growth, 7.9%. And as we will see in this quarter, growth was thanks to the commercial area, but industrial is also growing well. And Cemig GT, as our CEO mentioned, both OPEX as well EBITDA for the company, they are at the levels that are higher than the regulatory ones. For Cemig GT, we had the renegotiation of hydrological risk of some of our assets, 122 million reals, and also other investees in the amount of 308 million reals. And remember that that Eurobond buyback of $500 million that we performed in the beginning of the third quarter, and we did mention that on our second quarter earnings call, it's posted, so we bought back those bonds. But in addition to that, we also have a premium payment of 491 million reals, which we already mentioned in the prior call. Now on slide 15, we have the results, consolidated results here for the last 9 months up to September. Our EBITDA increased in 53.6%. When adjusted by non-recurring effects, we have an EBITDA growth of over 19%. Even in the adjusted result, this is a robust growth, 19%, reaching in the last 9 months of $4,441,000,000. Our IFRS EBITDA, as our CEO mentioned, is of $6,345,000,000, and it is by itself the highest EBITDA of the company ever. And I believe that that result will be repeated in December. Our net profit is up 75%, the accounting, and with the adjustment, it is up 6.7%, reaching 1,860 million reals. It's important to mention here that in terms of dividends, it is on the accounting results in that in the first 9 months is at 2,790 million reals. And the next slide, talking about the consolidated results, only in the third quarter, our EBITDA reached 1,910 million, up 29%. And the recurring EBITDA was 1,469 million, and it was up 6.4%. Net profit was down. Accounting net profit, it was down 27%, but when we adjust that to non-recurring events, the reduction was 2.8%, and the main event affecting net profit here is the Eurobond buyback and the premium which was paid in this buyback. And now talking about Cemig GT results, it reached an EBITDA of 799 million reals, up 35%. And remember, we have the effects of the renegotiation of hydrological risk, and we adjust that. It was down 37%. And remember, we transferred 125 million reals in the third quarter of trading margin to our holding company. So if we were to consider these 125 million here, our EBITDA would be very close to the EBITDA of the third quarter of 2020. And remember that in 2021, we have seen a very challenging hydrological situation, which is affecting hydraulic generators in a significant fashion. So here we show that our strategy of hedge and energy trading is very well succeeded. For net profit, we went from a positive net profit in the third quarter of 20 of 37 million to a loss of 210 million reals. For Cemig GT, and remember that the bond is issued under Cemig GT. So here have the impact. But when we make the adjustments, considering the margin migration and everything else, we had a reduction of 82%. Now, starting the analysis of the CEMIG distribution on slide 18, we have the market, the volume of energy, and as I had mentioned, the distributed energy volume for CEMIG distribution area grew 4.3% in a way that transport was up 7.9%, our TUSD, and supply or the sale of energy for end consumers was up 1.2%. Now, breaking down by consumption classes, we see that the higher growth is from the commercial area with a growth of 7.7%. But our industrial class, which is the most relevant of all, that represents basically half of all distributed energy in the concession area, also has a strong growth of 4.9%. Residential is another relevant area for us. It's up 4%. It's important to highlight the representativeness of distributed generation in our concession area. The energy injected for distributed generation in 2021 was of 512 in the third quarter of 2021. It was 512 gigawatts hour, up 87% when compared to the third quarter of 2020. That is very relevant. And that represents today 4.2% of the total energy market in the concession area. So undoubtedly, this is the best activity of a distributed generation in any concession area in the country. So this is a situation that we are analyzing because the growth of distributed generation is very high in our concession area. Now on page 19, we have EBITDA and net profit for CEMIG distribution and accounting terms, we were down 10% in our EBITDA, reaching 722 million reals. But when we adjust by non-recurring events, and that is a reversal that we had in 2020 of a provision of an ADA in Minas Gerais state. This was a negotiation that we had with the state of Minas Gerais in the past. So when we make this adjustment, we see a recurring growth of 24%. Net profit also has a similar dynamics in the accounting result, is down 12%, 400 million reals, and a recurring growth of 28.5% with a recurring net profit of 393 million reals. Turning to slide 20, operating costs and expenses, we had a significant increase because of energy purchase. And we know that this is because of the hydrological situation, and that does not affect the distributing company results. We do have the cash that is being tackled by the flag, and we have a robust cash, so we don't have reason to concern. The PMSO, which really affects our result, and that's under our management, was up 1.2%, way below the inflation. It is not significant. And the levels that affected, we see that we had several initiatives here to have voluntary redundancy programs every year. So we have employees that are close to retirement age and they have incentives to retire. And when they are replaced, they are replaced to younger employees with lower salaries. We also have a reduction in the profit sharing program for this year because of our negotiation. And what actually increased was third party services, 52 million, but that was basically because of the increase of disconnections in the third quarter of 2020, because we had 348,000 disconnections in the third quarter of 2021, vis-a-vis 150,000 disconnections in the same period of 2020. This is an additional expense, but that explains that great performance in delinquency reduction and also in our collection indicator. On slide 21, we have the comparison of our OPEX and EBITDA with the regulatory in the 9 months of 2021. The regulatory OPEX was of 2,411,000,000, and the realized OPEX was 2,132,000,000, 279 million below the regulatory OPEX. So this is the best level in the comparison of the OPEX comparison here in the company. We have a small chart showing you here that, for instance, in 2018, the realized OPEX was 5% higher than the regulatory. And now the realized OPEX is basically 12% below the regulatory OPEX. So this is the best level that we have reached. And then in the other years, also we also had higher amounts. Now, in EBITDA, the regulatory EBITDA was of 1,792,000,000 in the first 9 months of the year. And ours was a little bit over 2 billion, that is 267 million higher than the regulatory EBITDA. So this is an all-time record for the company as well. And basically, that is thanks to our OPEX, a better OPEX, and also other revenues, which were higher than what we have today, considering the tariff. And losses also that are at very low levels in the recent history of the company, 67 million reals in the first 9 months. And as we already mentioned, our losses are in a downward trend and compliance with the regulatory levels, and we expect to reach losses lower than the regulatory level for next year. Our debt profile in the slide number 22, we have ended the quarter with a robust cash of 3,855,000,000. We do not have a relevant maturities in 21, 22, 23. These maturities can be paid with the cash generation of the company. In 2024, we have the bonds maturity, and now a little bit lower. It was $1.5 billion, and now it's one, but it's a little bit lower. Even then, our debt profile and our maturity table is very comfortable right now. In terms of cost of debt, because of the increase in the interest rate and because our debts are linked to CDI, and also our debt, the dollar denominated debt, you know, the cost of interest has a swap to CDI. So there was an increase, the increase in the interest rate is also affecting and increasing our cost of debt, but we don't see that as a major problem because this was the indexer chose at the time. In terms of the indexers, the main indexers, the dollar is still relevant with 49% of our total debt, IPCA 37%, and CDI 14% of our debt. As far as leverage is concerned, we are at a very comfortable level. In the third quarter of 2021, we reached 1.11 total net debt over adjusted EBITDA, very comfortable level. And our leverage in terms of net debt over equity plus net debt is of 23%. That's a very comfortable indicator. On slide 23, we have our consolidated cash flow. So it's very interesting to see that we were at the end of 2020 with cash of 5.8 billion. At the end of the third quarter, we have cash of 3.8 billion, but we have here the breakdown, the cash generation of 4.9 billion, CVA of 1.9, and settlement of financial instruments. It's important to mention here the payment of the bond with the premium has generated 4.3 billion reals. We also have here the sale of light, 1.3 billion, and our CapEx. But it's interesting to see here that if it were not by CVA, 1.9 billion, even after buying back the bonds and everything that we have done, our cash would be at the same level as we were at the end of last year. So this proves how sound and how good are our assets, our management, and also how good is our capacity to generate cash for the company. And now for the management's priorities, I will turn the floor back to Leonardo. And he's going to tell you what we have been doing. Well, trying to be very transparent here. Since last year, everything that we are working on, and also in CEMIG Day, that's when we have a greater opportunity to discuss our strategic planning, our goals for the mid and the long term, and our routine, our continuous improvement process. We have initiatives that we understand that are important and relevant to take CEMIG to another level. Many of them have been achieved, as you can see in this slide. We believe that achieving some of these results will improve our results, the rating, EBITDA, and you understand that that's thanks to these actions that we are having better results. Some of them are partially achieved, as you see here, and that's because they depend upon approvals of regulating agencies and so on. That's why they are here defined as partially achieved. But we understand that the most part of the process to fulfill these initiatives are already there. And we have other initiatives that are in progress, and we are working on that, investing in renewable generation sources. For instance, we expect that we have good news in the next quarter to bring to you. Non-technical losses, it could be also partially achieved here because we are already very close to the regulatory level. And we understand that in the next quarter, or maybe in the first quarter of 2022, we'll be at that regulatory level. Restructuring benefit plans. Here, we started just this week to try to restructure these retirement benefit plans. We have sent a letter to our pension fund requesting them to have analysis so that we can create a new benefits plan so that we can remove the actuarial risk of the company, and also to look for mediation measures in our labor courts so that we can improve our healthcare insurance plan. So this way we can work better and have better results. We understand all of these are complex measures. We are analyzing all alternatives, and this week we already started working on all these topics. We believe this was a very productive week in terms of starting this process of restructuring all these plans. Digital transformation, for that IBM is working with us. We have a partnership with them. We are changing our relationship with our customers. We are already reaping the fruits here, and also the growth in retail electricity sales. We have great expertise here in the retail area, and it's under our radar. And once again, and just in this quarter, we already started shedding more light to our trading business because we know it improves value, and being separated in the holding, it will be easier to show how much value this area is generating to the company, is bringing the company, and I think it's going to allow us to go for its fair value. So these are the highlights about the third quarter, and now we have some time to take your questions. We will be available for this next step. Thank you very much. We will now start the Q&A session. Questions may be asked via audio just by clicking on the icon Raise the Hand on the bottom part of your screen. Then a request to open your microphone will come up and you should unmute your microphone. When you raise your hand, please add the name of your company to your name. Now, questions in English will be answered just by text. Please wait while we collect the questions. Good afternoon. I have two questions. First, can you talk about the potential of tax credit and Renova transaction? How would be the process and how much would it involve? Considering the hydrological scenario that we have now, can you talk about your expectation for GSF for 2022 and the impacts on tariffs? Thank you. Thank you very much for your questions. About the first one, about tax credits, we understand that, as we mentioned, we still have some conditions to be met and it will take a few months. But after the conclusion of the process, or at the conclusion of the process, we understand that we will have tax credit regarding investments in light and also receivables that we are transferring against the 60 million, that would be estimated 500 million reals that we could have in terms of tech credits. But right now, at the moment of the transaction, that would affect favorably our financial statements. When it is posted, Renova now has a zero amount in the balance sheet of the company. So when this transaction goes through, the 60 million also would represent an increase in our results thanks to this operation. So this operation has an upside regarding the sale. So the tax credits that we mentioned today, they would be close to 500 million. And also regarding an earnout, an additional amount that will also depend on future events. We understand that this operation needs to be taken into, it needs to take into consideration all these topics in terms of impacts and the energy price. Dimas might comment. He's our commercialization officer. Well, I apologize. You just would like me to comment on that? Yes. What is the impact of energy price in the short and the midterm and our GSF expectation for 2022? Well, we are starting a recovery of the reservoirs now, and we already are seeing the prices for next week close to 70 reals. So there is a detachment from reality because the reservoirs are just starting to recover. We will still go into the rainy season. And I don't know if that's going to be very good because we have La Niña, and La Niña allows a lot of rainfall in the northeast, but not much in the south. But October was a good month. So this is the model. That is a mathematical model that we have. And the fact that it is raining, and we have that heritage from the HPP's model. So I think we have a generation of 2,000 reals importing energy from Argentina and Uruguay, maybe for 1700. But when we have this type of system, there is a lack of control. Our spot price was very high, might be very minimum by December, but the trend for next year is to have that stabilized, because we will have a rainy season. We are not going to recover everything, but there is a determination from energy to not press that, to put too much pressure into reservoirs. So we are going to have TPP generation next year, maybe not in these expensive fuels of 2000, but maybe 600 and 700, we'll have that. So we do believe that our spot price will be civilized in around 200 reals, from 180 to 200 reals. What else can I tell you? GSF, I'm sure that it will be low, because when you have TPP and you have to rebuild the reservoirs, it's going to be low. Even if it rains, we have the determination of having some reservoirs holding back water. And when that happens, we have TPP, which is more expensive, covering for HPPs. So GSF, we believe, will come down. So we believe GSF will be close to 0.7 next year. And CEMIG already organized its balance sheet for hydrological risk for next year, even with a more conservative approach of 0.6 in GSF. So we already provisioned for that. The distributing company has an overcontracting, and if we have that spot price close to 200 reals, that should balance it out, this energy with this spot price, and that this overcontracting will not affect cash. But we do have the tariff flag problem, and that does not, it is not enough for the distributing company. So we will have a negotiation with Enel, or maybe a loan to cover possible financial debts of our distributing company. I don't know if there is any other questions. CEMIG's balance sheet is well adjusted. Market maintenance, we are still within that target of maintaining the 3,700, and we are maintaining our market. We are still leaders in the market, and we have our share guaranteed, and we are ready and using that the energy of the past auctions that will start to come out now in 2022. And we have contracts that are due for energy purchase, and these will come in to maintain not only the energy that we purchased, but also with DGT from the generation area. We changed that energy purchase. We are buying a residue of energy in this rest of the year, but starting next year, we already will be working with our own generation, whether own generation to improve our portfolio, or to supply your portfolio, or to other clients that are demanding that. So at the maturities of contracts, we should be covering these contracts with a greater production, always maintaining the market. GMAs. There is a question here from Felipe Andrade, which we thank him. And can you comment a little bit about the contract signed with developers to improve energy, CEMIG's available energy? Is there a risk of a delay or not delivering an asset? Is there an asset with that it has its startup at risk because the crisis in delivering solar panels? Out of the 1,200 megawatts that we purchased, of course, some of them will start now in 2022 and 2023. So most of them will start in 2022 from the first two first auctions. There was a default. There was a generator that sold us 20 megawatts and they did not fulfill. They did not come out with it. And we have 60 mega and they are requesting a postponement of 6 months because of this lack of control after the pandemic. There's a lack of control of supplies because of container and ships and room in the ports. So they are requesting for a 6 months waiver for 60 mega, and not the other ones have already delivered. We are delivering. We have an office just to follow up all these investments, and those that will not come in 2022 should come in 2023. We are following that up, and all the schedule is being followed with no delay, except this one that I mentioned. The 20 megawatts, that's not going to come in. We have already sued it, and the 60 mega that is requesting for an extension because of the extension period to deliver it because of the logistics problem and the logistics problems. Everything else is well controlled, and we have a scale of energy sale. So we always sell the energy. We always leave 40% of energy as it comes in. So as we have more, we release more. And that's what we are going to do for this year. Not that this is a surplus of energy, but this energy is maintaining the average 37 megawatts that for our clients' portfolio. That's great, Dimas. Thank you very much. And talking about this topic, we have two questions related to wind energy and renewables energy. One of them from Marcelo. Thank you very much, Marcelo, for your question. Do you believe that in the next 10 years, we are going to have a distinct generation market with clean energy sources that could be a major driver for growth and also represent a major cash generation for CEMIG? And also another question for Tadeu. What is the company's forecast for investments in wind energy? Well, I will briefly answer the question and then you can add to it. But this is a simple and complex answer. This is what happens. Our generating farm, if you check on the auctions, most of them are wind and solar, but these are intermittent energies. We still have some time to develop batteries, and that is going to be over a decade. So it's inevitable to have thermal power plants to hold the fort. So today the HPPs hold it. You can imagine 3,000 megawatts, and then you have a very calm period in the Northeast and generation comes down 30-40%. So the 1,000 mega is removed immediately. So what happens today? We have the hydraulic turbines and it's automatic. As it comes down, you just open the flaps and then you generate more energy to cover a possible variation of frequency of voltage. Today, with the restrictions of solar energy and hydraulic energy and maintaining reservoirs and generating less in the next, we are going to generate less in the next 2 years. And also this model that the media has imposed on not having HPPs with reservoirs. So now the HPPs are working with little water. So it's inevitable that we have a TPP at the base because the thermal power plant has to be working. So that's the idea of having a TPP at the base. And then it can vary if it is at the base. And then wind and solar will come in to save water and fuel. Once you have batteries developed with hydrogen, for instance, you can maintain it. But still, in this decade, we will have to maintain these projections of GDP and growth. And so it's inevitable that we have TPPs running to be able to work with wind and solar plants. In the next decade, yes, we might have technology, competitive technology, so that we can store that energy and balance it out over the day. Now I turn the floor to Tadeu, and he is responsible for the investment program for CEMIG for increasing the generation capacity. Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, we have our mid and long-term vision to increase our generation capacity, especially in from renewable sources. Today, CEMIG has a pipeline of over 6 gigawatts, and out of those, 2 gigawatts are for very mature projects to be developed up to 2025. And most of these 2 gigawatts are from renewable sources. And we are also investing a lot in investment and innovation. And it will go through by green hydrogen already from these sources that we are developing. So in the next 5-10 years, we believe that our generating farm will have a very significant increase in our generation sources. And we also have grant concessions for almost 500 megawatts in solar energy. We also have our first wind farm, solar farm approved in Montes Claros. And still this year, we intend to approve 150 mega of solar energy as well to be installed in our Três Marias plant, which will become a huge energy generation complex for CEMIG. About the development of wind farms, we are developing a lot of them. We have a pipeline that is over 2 gigawatts, especially in the Northeast, and we are working with the market and studying all the situations. But because of the commodities price going up, and there was a significant increase in cost of equipment, and still then we are working on that, and we are analyzing all projects possible. Thank you. Thank you, Dimas. Thank you, Tadeu. I now would like to turn to questions to Mauricio, our participation officer, one of them from Luciano De Paula. He is asking, can you comment on the perspective of the divestment plan perspectives? How are the negotiations for a possible sale of Santo Antonio and Belo Monte? What are your plans for Aliança Energia? And the other question is from Rodolfo Colizel. And his question is, how is Taesa's auction going? That's great. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Luciano, and thank you, Rodolfo, for your questions. As we mentioned, CEMIG's strategy since 2017 is a divestment plan. This is still a valid plan. It is under execution. We already had 2 projects carried out this year. The first one from Light and the other one from Renova. Renova is still, we have to check the applicable proceeding conditions, but this is an ongoing plan. We have other possible opportunities as the questions mentioned, such as Santo Antonio, Belo Monte, Taesa itself. These are opportunities that are still being studied. Right now, we do not have any transaction or any binding agreement to share with you. But the company is still working to find business opportunities that are significant, both strategically and economically, and each one will be considered in terms of optimizing the results for the company. Thank you, Mauricio. I think Edivaldo raised his hand. Can we turn the floor to him, please? Next question is from Edivaldo Souza from Financial School. Dividends distribution will follow the same policy of the company, it is going to be 50% of the EBITDA generation? Yes, that's an easy answer. Yes, Edvaldo. We'll continue with the same policy. I have just an adjustment here, a correction. This is 50% of the net profit, not of the EBITDA. Okay? Yes, that's right. Yes, and we believe that 50% is the balanced dividends considering the investment program that the company has for the next years to maintain the right leverage. We believe that 50%, considering our level of results, these are dividends that we believe that would allow a significant yield for our shareholders. So with this policy, we believe that we can maintain our leverage at a balanced level and also provide the possibility to cover our investment programs for the next 5 years. And also because we are talking about the net profit for shareholders, but we have the non-cash as well. That would be more than 50% of profit distribution. Yes, that's right. And I'm sure that the company will be able to do the best investment possible with the remaining share of that. Thank you for your question. I'm just checking if we have any further questions. Just one second. There is one question from Gabriel Agostini. Which are CEMIG's option to deal with increased distributed generation? Gabriel, good afternoon. We have two ways to go. One on the distribution side, and another one on the distributed generation. On the side of distribution, our objective is to approve the bill of law that regulates distributed generation, establishing criteria that effectively will allow a better distribution of the subsidies of distributed generation for everyone with lower impact in distribution. So we expect that this bill of is approved as soon as possible. For distributed generation in itself, and as there is another question about the future of generation, obviously this is inevitable and it will keep on growing. Therefore, we need to be there and we need to have a relevant footprint. So we will be keeping on investing. And we again, we want to be relevant in Minas Gerais, but that's the state where we have distributed generation. We have almost 18% of the market in Brazil. So on the one side, we have an expectation of a solution at the legislative area in regarding this topic and also distributing the charges for all the system and the incentives for distributed generation. And on the other hand, as a business to grow in the business by CEMIG. Can we open a microphone to hear Fabiola? Next question from Fabiola Gomes. Good afternoon. My question was about the divestment program, if there was anything else. Well, if I'm here, can you talk about these two operations of divestment? What was the total for them, for CEMIG? And And the focus has changed because before you were focusing on the leverage, but now you want to maintain the divestment program regarding some assets. And why? Why do you want to do that? Maurício, do you have the figures by heart? I am not sure if we do, but it might be easier to send you by writing. But the rationale here is to reallocate capital and to concentrate investments in Minas Gerais. So what we are doing is that we are focusing the company's investments in distribution, transmission, and generation in the state of Minas Gerais. These funds will be directed to make face of the 22 billion reais, which is regarding our investment program for the next years, most of them for distribution, 5.5 billion, and Tadeu mentioned already about our plan. So it's distributed in our pipeline, and we do have a backlog there. And within our strategic planning, we would like to conclude up to 25. If with 5 giga in distribution area, we have here in the presentation is 12.5 billion. And the two major programs that deserve highlight here are Mais Energia program, more energy with the 200 substations, and Minas three phase. We are going to make a conversion of 25,000 kilometers of lines in the single phase to three phase lines. But this is capital allocation into the company's core leader and we know how to work with and in the state of Minas Gerais. If you allow me another question about Renova, are you concluding what you needed in terms of divestment in Renova? This was what you planned for Renova? Yes, we will be concluding that with the sale process. We sell all our stocks in the company. Well, just stressing, this is an investment that today, including receivables, this is totally provisioned in our balance sheet. It's at the zero, that's the value in our balance sheet. And as we sold, Renova's sale is part of our plan since 2017. We are concluding it now, and we understand that the benefits regarding the funds will go into the company, and also the tax credit benefits will also revert to the company. And we believe that this should be concluded by the beginning of 2022, and it will depend how the approval schedule will happen. Okay, thank you. Next question, Maria Fernanda from Red. Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one, CEMIG is already thinking about strategies to refinance the bond of 2024. My second question about the negotiation that you were working on to help distributing companies. Can you give us more details? Is the federal administration going to provide any subsidies there? Can you comment on it, please? Well, Maria Fernanda, thank you for your questions. About the bonds, remember in our CEMIG Day in June, we talked about our strategy, and at the time we had 1.5 billion of open balance, and we believed it was important to pay part of the Eurobonds in the stages, and we would still have 400 to 500 million to be able to redeem with no type of premium up in the future with no face value. It made sense for us that we would be able to take that in with no greater risks. And in this period of time from now up to 2023, you have a second movement to reduce that huge wall. So we could use several instruments, more issuances aboard, or exchange the bond debt by switch by an internal debt. So we understand our bond premium is still very high. It's around 12% in the secondary market. And that is thanks to the company's rating improvement. And Eurobond is expensive, and it is more expensive considering the face value that we had issued in the past. So we are going to have to wait a little bit. But in summary, yes, we should have some movement regarding the bonds. Just like the first one, we waited when the dollar was down. It was 505, and now the dollar is 540. And we seized that opportunity in the market for this first movement. And now we are paying attention so that we can take a second step in the right moment of 500 million more. I cannot tell you when this is going to happen because it depends on market conditions. It depends on the FX rate, the hedge price, and the premium of our securities in the secondary market. But we are taking attention to it. And about a new COVID account, for instance, for distributing companies, the cost of energy purchase is very high. Although we had a reduction of the spot price, the thermal power plants are generating energy to save the reservoirs. And this has a very high cost, and distributing companies right now are responsible for paying that, even with the red flag at the highest level. The distributing companies have a high bill to pay, and these discussions are happening with Abradi and other agencies that are responsible for the electric sector as well as financial institutions. So we are waiting to see if we are going to have any answer, any results by the end of the fourth quarter or beginning of 2022. Thank you very much. If I can add, I would like to know if CEMIG considers, if it were to refinance the bond, to issue a green bond, for instance. This has been having a high demand, and you might be able to reduce costs because I know these are high. Thank you, Maria Fernanda. Thank you for your question and for the comment. Yes, we are paying attention to all markets opportunities. To issue a green bond makes a lot of sense to the company. We are a sustainable company. This is our history. We are 100% of our sources are renewable. We understand that we have an important history here. And we are also analyzing this possibility then, because we understand that is convergent with our strategy and with the company's history. And we are also considering that possibility. Great. Thank you very much. If you want to ask a question, feel free to do so. That's a new way of working with a call because we believe it's more organized. But if you have any questions, let us know, please. To ask a question, please click on raise hand on the bottom part of your screen. Questions in English will only be received via chat. Very well, if there are no further questions, we thank you very much once again for your participation and have a great weekend. And if you're in Brazil, have a nice long holiday here, a long weekend. CEMIG's
conference call has ended. We thank you very much for your participation and have a nice afternoon.